something else. Vogel was still in shock. Neither said anything about the sixth sense, but after that, Vogel felt their relationship was never the same. What camaraderie had existed faded. Roth pretty much left Vogel alone. Miramax's Harvey Weinstein also bore the brunt of Eisner's crackdown on big-budget event movies. Just as Disney was selling off foreign and domestic rights to The Sixth Sense to reduce costs, Weinstein approached Eisner with a cherished project, a multi-picture deal to turn J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings into a film. Rights to the beloved classic were held by British producer Saul Zance, who had been notoriously reluctant to give them up. But Zance had developed a close relationship with Weinstein when Zance co-produced the wildly successful The English Patient with Miramax, winner of the Academy Award for Best Picture in 1997. After Weinstein introduced Zance to New Zealand director Peter Jackson, Zance was captivated by Jackson's grandiose vision for a Tolkien epic and readily agreed to sell the rights to Miramax for a Jackson-directed production. Miramax spent about $14 million to develop the project, but because of the projected budget, Weinstein needed Disney and Eisner's approval to go ahead. He arranged a meeting with Roth to show him the concept, some storyboards and animatics models of the computer-generated sets, and a few battle sequences that Jackson had created. Weinstein made the pitch for two films with a projected budget of no more than $180 million. Expensive, yes, but $90 million per film was substantially less than Armageddon or other Bruckheimer projects. "Joe, this will be the movie of our lifetimes," Weinstein enthused to Roth. "We'll sell foreign. We'll get half our cost back off the top." Roth called Weinstein after he took the project up with Eisner. "Michael passed," he said. "He what?" Weinstein replied, incredulous. "He said we're not going to spend this kind of money." Weinstein called Eisner. Eisner wouldn't back down. From his point of view, Weinstein was asking him to risk a huge sum of money on an unproven director with no finished scripts, no sure market, no partners. This was not the kind of low-budget, independent movie Miramax was supposed to be doing. Besides, he didn't think Lord of the Rings would translate well to film. An earlier animated version had failed. There was a limited audience for the fantasy genre. "You're making a terrible mistake," Weinstein practically screamed. "This will be the franchise to end all franchises." After Eisner's rejection, Weinstein reluctantly let Jackson shop the project to other studios. All turned it down. But then New Line, a division of Time Warner, agreed to reconsider. After sitting through Jackson's presentation, New Line's chief executive, Robert Shea, committed to three films with a combined budget of $350 million, an even more ambitious venture than Weinstein had dared to contemplate. New Line was so eager to do the project that it agreed to reimburse Miramax's costs, and Weinstein insisted on keeping the right to 5% of the gross. When Weinstein reported the deal to Eisner, he just shrugged, which angered Weinstein. Here he'd acquired the rights to one of the most sought-after literary properties in the world. Eisner had killed the project, and now he didn't seem to care that Weinstein had brought him a 5% stake.